About the importance for every Jew to recognize that our definition of life and the rest of the world's definition of life is very, very different. The rest of the world's definition of life is basically as long as something is physically growing, which more accurately is physically dying, because every human being is in the process of life and death, every second of his life. Billions or trillions, I don't know how many cells that are dying constantly. Your blood is not the same blood. That one sort of article that a person after a certain amount of years is not the same person he was before. Physically. It's just, you know, everything in the body just changed. You know, the old cells died and they were replaced by new ones. But as far as we're concerned, it's all the same. That is a very temporary part of ourselves. The main part of ourselves is the neshama, the spiritual part of ourselves. And that's the part that is really alive, because that is eternally alive. It never dies. So our goal in life is to live with the reality of life and not the imaginary life. Imaginary life of the rest of the world is, like we're saying, temporary life. Here today, tomorrow you're not here, the game is over. By us, it's eternal life. And Kamavan, just by the etzem thing itself, it's a different type of life. It's a much more meaningful life. It's a much more fulfilling life. It's a life we can get past the frustrations of those who are just living a physical life. Because when we focus on the spiritual life, we realize Hashem put me in the world for this purpose, physical life, a spiritual life. And not only that, and this is the most important part of it, if you don't have the second line, it's no good. It's just, oh, spirituality, it's nice. But the HR says it's very nice. It's just I wasn't created with a natural inclination towards this. Really not for me. I'm one of those unfortunate people that were given the option, but it's just too complicated. And that is a mistake. That is falsification of the facts by the Yitzhar. Because anybody who was created with any ability to do anything was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu all that is needed to succeed. Yes, we were also given the Yitzhar to confuse us, because otherwise we get no schar from it. But everything's been done, every Jew, no matter how smart he is, or not so smart he is, how much he hates the other things, for this and for that and the other, and he doesn't. The Maestri has everything he needs to be a very successful Jew in the real life. And therefore, the person neglects that part of life, just as a physical life, he'll never be happy, because he's living a life neglecting his essence. Whereas a person who focuses on his spirituality, he'll be able to find pleasures in every facet of life, not only in spirituality, even physicality. Like the Kundari says, a person who appreciates the fact that Hashem created food for us and then makes a bracha before he eats, he appreciates it unlimited times more than anybody else. Because a guy who was eating a piece of bread and he went to the store, bought a bread, very good, it's fresh, it's good, it's not so fresh, it's not good, whatever. But by us, every food that we have, we look at it as a gift from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It didn't have to be that way. Kodesh Baruch Hu set up the world with the bread. That we can have the bread even without working on it. It comes to my place. All that is the Abdushanaiva Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a complex system that was all set up specifically by him for us. When I receive a gift from Melech Malchai Melochim, from the great king, it's a different experience. I appreciate it more, I enjoy it more. Kopanim, that's the Chayim that we're talking about. Now we're talking about Simcha, which is also Chobotavi. Well, Simcha comes from the fact that I'm giving every part of my essence what it needs. If I say I'm going to be very spiritual, I don't eat enough and don't sleep enough, I won't be happy either, because my body needs certain things, I have to give what it needs. If I overindulge and I make the drives in my body what life is all about, and I neglect my spiritual part, it also never be the same, because the spiritual part of me is always demanding, what about me, and it's not getting it. So, let's see some insights into Simcha. Shemayim v'aretz ish v'ish v'nashom v'guf v'nigudim hei. The things that seem to be opposites. You have the heavens and the earth, a woman and a man, a shom and a goof. Each one is different. No matter how much you want to convince yourself that, like today, people want to say a man and a woman are really the same. That's a mistake. It's negative misfits. Yeah. It's not something that's started by humanity. Even in wildlife, the man has his position, the woman has her position, whether it be by goats or sheep or what do you call it? Bees and whatever. That's the way Hashem created the world. But these two opposites are not opposites that were made to work against each other. They're made to complement one another. Shemayim v'aretz. The earth has all the nutrients it has to grow. It doesn't have the water. In order to get the water, it has to come from the Shemayim. And Chanan is all complex system that Hashem set up, the preparation, etc. The bottom line is, the system Hashem set up was that you have to have the combination of the two in order for it to produce the results. So that's why Hashem set up the world. See, you have two opposite things that are made to complement one another. And that goes with all three of these. Shemayim Ba'aretz, Ish V'Isha, obviously. Without husband and wife together, they cannot produce a family. Neshama V'Guf, each one has its smiles and its rightness, but without a guf, there's no neshama, and without neshama, there's no guf. Ish Mashpim Zel Zel L'Toyva. There are those that have this relationship that they, each one is affecting the other one in a good way. Just after Maganri, others become one unit. Yeah. Here he says an interesting thing. When there is a chibur between two complementary parts, that creates him. That creates him. When we have these two opposites that combine together and form a unit, that is simcha, because simcha comes from a feeling of shleimus. Kshomim, like we said, kshomim is the rain that comes from the shemayim into the earth. Yeah, there's even a medrash he brings that says that the rain that comes down is called male water, and the water which is underneath the earth is female. The male and female in Chazal just means two complementary parts. And they are the Shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to produce life in the world. So the zivug between the Shemayim and the Oretz comes about through the rain. And it said when the rain, it does rain, Kola Olam Smechi. A place that needs rain, everybody's happy when it rains. A farmer that needs the rain when it rains is very happy. Today, in certain places, you know, people that don't have fields, they don't realize it. And if they connect to the, or have a catch with the farmers, it's the biggest simcha. Here in Eretz Yisrael, that's one of the beautiful things in Eretz Yisrael. Even when it rains, people are happy. In New York, when it rains, people are unhappy. Well, I don't imagine if that's the rain. But, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. So he's saying the simcha is that this process that was made of two complementary parts came about. They connect.
Yeah.
The same thing goes with the chasana, is a tremendous simcha because of the combining of the two complementary parts, husband and wife. And the mele, the same thing when we have the guf and the neshama. A body and neshama combined. They're not working against one. Yitzhar tries to fool us to think that the body and the neshama are working against one another. But they were made to complement one another, work together. And the only way to have true simcha is when a guf and neshama are working for the same goal. My father told me he was once at a meeting of psychologists. And he made this point to them at the end. He said, you guys trying to help people, and you maybe are helping people, to bring them to simcha, you cannot. The only way to bring simcha is to bring a person to recognition that he has a neshama, and if he does not neglect his neshama, he has a neshama interact and work together with his guf in a way that is compatible to both of them, that brings a person to simcha shel mitzvah. Is simcha ha'odam ha'mizkasha and boira yidei mitzvah. I think another fact. Mitzvah is supposed to have done good to simcha. He's saying an interesting thing. We say to simcha, yeah. What would the average person say? Well, why should he be happy doing a mitzvah? Like a businessman, he's going on a business trip and he has a good deal that he's going to make. He's very happy. Oh, I'm going to go for this deal and I'm going to come back with $1 million. He's very excited. So you do a mitzvah, you do it properly, you get $1 million worth of oil. It's a good business deal. Be excited. Ah, making good business. But that's not simcha. That's maybe a certain level of excitement. You're making some money out of it. But if you're living with yourself, you're not simcha. The simcha is the chibur, the connection between two counterparts to bring it to shleimus. So this is a deeper insight into what a mitzvah is, which Be'etzem, the Mesilas Yeshorim says in this first paragraph, Chavosah Shalom Ba'ilomim, our whole goal in life is Lidovik Ba'Hashem, to connect our Kadosh Baruch Hu. How? There's only way to do it. One way to do it. Through the mitzvahs. The more pure your mitzvahs are, the more pure your connection with Hashem, the more real it is. There's no other way. Going to mountaintop and playing guitar, Shirei Regesh, emotional things, and thinking how great Hashem is. It's a very nice thing if it calms you down. It's not connected to Hashem. It has to be released. It's unfortunate. There are a lot of Amaratsim today. You can have Amaratsim, you can even learn a yeshiva. Doesn't understand what mitzvahs are. Yeah, mitzvahs are. Let me get away with the mitzvahs. The yitz is not with all the mitzvahs. Fine, the heter for this and heter for that. The mitzvahs are stumbling blocks. Malasan. Mitzvahs are special gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through which you form the link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Chiddush, what he's saying. This is causing the simcha. The simcha shel mitzvah is because through the mitzvah we are making a chasana, connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Matan Torah was called Yom Chas Menosel. It was like a chasen of Klal Yisrael in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was mamash a marriage. It started the relationship as a nation, of being the nation that connects to Hashem. The Beit HaMikdash was in place of intense appeal, the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was felt in a way that we don't feel it at all today. We don't even know what it was. It was a very uplifting feeling. Okay. It says, Yom Chas Menosel is the Oyem Boi. The Beis HaMikdash was Yom Simchas Libay. Simcha Klal Yisrael. So, we don't have the big Beis HaMikdash, but each one has his private Beis HaMikdash. We mentioned the Chavetz Chaim, the Tzaddik, the Doi, the Nesha Tola Teyes. You all have a personal Beis HaMikdash which we're building, which is basically that Mokim, Vashros HaShchinuch, that we are creating upon us. So every mitzvah, aside from the Cheshbon Yisrael HaMachal, it is bringing us to our reality, bringing out our potential, bringing us our Kivah, it's a simple bechassan every mitzvah we do. We think of that. It says mamash. It says the met before you start davening Shmon Esrei, you're supposed to daven namitir soik, namitir kalas reish, namitir atzvos. When you start your tefillah, you shouldn't be in lightheadedness and not anger and not feeling down. Those are all things that are not compatible to the mind from the tefillah. Elamitir simcha shel mitzvah. That's why in shachris. And Maya, we say, he sees the shrine, the psukim that describe the special relation between us and Kodesh Kodesh Bobo, change all the laws of nature to take us out of the shrine. Simcha shel mitzvah. Like we're saying, the mitzvah is something that's mechaber us to Kodesh Bobo, and we're saying psukim that reminds ourselves of that special chibur, connection between us and Kodesh Bobo. By mincha, we say the psukim of, Etzon Yered Yaseh, the Shabbat Samish Moshein, Shrim Hashem Kol Oyavot. It's also psukim that the Gemara describes as simcha shel mitzvah. What does Simcha Mitzvah? A person has lived a life with Shaitan for mitzvahs. His years Hashem, Avas Hashem, that's something that's Tameh. I'm not by myself. I'm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have an ongoing relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have unlimited opportunities to deepen and strengthen the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvahs. That is the Simcha Shiyesh B'Kol Mitzvah. It's such a beautiful feeling. If you have somebody, you want to get close to somebody, and they're just running away from you, and you know they're a very good person, and they're just not interested. It's a very frustrating thing. And then in another place, okay, they don't have much time, they make themselves available once, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making himself available for the kiyuv to us non-stop. The opportunities are there every second of our lives. That's a simple shalit. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's a simple shalit. We have a simcha that we have constant opportunities to develop HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's saying. The thing that causes a simcha is the connection. When it rains, simcha. Marriage, simcha. Partially, Kavosim was able to even voice in the baby. He said, to connect to something, it doesn't happen with anything. If you do your mitzvahs as far as your routine, you don't think what you're doing. You make your brachas, you have no idea what you're doing. I mean, you have an idea, but you don't think about it. You're not connecting. It's something you're doing. A person could walk by a lamppost 100 times a day, back and forth. He's not connecting to the lamppost. What do you mean? He's so connected. He's walking by it every day. He's not paying attention to it. It's not part of his life. Well, you know, the guy doesn't even notice the lamppost over here. It's not important to you. So it's up to us. We have a natural thing. Unfortunately, as we say many times in our day and age, we are connected to a lot of things. Connected to phones, connected to computers, connected to this, non-stop. That is a connection that does not create simcha. Because it's not connecting to anything real. Virtual world, even the relationships, social media, it's all virtual. Nobody's interested in the other one. They're interested in getting something out of the other one. Not to be one with the other person. The person, I mean, 20 years, 10 years, they had like a cartoon about it. A guy who's all his virtual friends, and he feels so close with them, and then he's getting married. He invites them all to his wedding. He prepares a hall for like 1,000 people, and nobody shows up. Because they're virtual friends. They're not real friends. You know? And I can go out of the comfort zone to go to a wedding hall and spend the night with the guy. That's it. It's a fate. We're talking about real things. But if a person is constantly connecting to the virtuality and not connected to reality, then he has a problem. If we really use the truth of the world, we'll always be anchored in reality. Because we are naturally, every Jew, hundreds of times, because of the day, is really connected to our Kodesh Bohu. The brachas we make, like this, 100 brachas, 100 times a day connect to our Kodesh Bohu. If you don't put anything to your brachas, you just blah, 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 without paying attention to be saying or not. So it didn't make any connection. Well, maybe we could say it's a very limited connection, because if you did say the bracha, it makes a very... Every bracha has an effect. Every mitzvah we do has an effect. If we do shalom kavana, it's very weak. Everything else we're doing, everything we do in the course of the day is really connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do it properly with the right intentions, and eating with the right intentions, and helping others, whatever it may be. For anyway, so saying this is the nature of life. Hashem wants us to be happy. And Hashem wants us to connect to Him. Those two things are the same. If we use our life to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, life will always be happy. Because I'm always saying, oh, another opportunity to connect to Hashem, to get to my Shleimus. And before the Teichocha, those awesome psukim about what happens if we don't go in the ways of Hashem, all the terrible things that happen, it says, Tachas, Asher, lo yavatos, Hashem, elikecho, besincho, tevleivot, meiroiv, koim. You were not full of simcha when you could have been over Hashem. You had everything. Hashem set up everything. You have everything you need to be over Hashem. But you didn't appreciate it. You focused on, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have the other thing. Instead, I do have constant opportunities to connect to my Kodesh Baruch Hu. I had what I needed. But I focused on what I'm lacking instead of what I do have. If you're not interested in your relationship with Hashem, Hashem will give you another relationship. You'll be subservient to your enemies. And then you'll be choishev, then the measure will be lacking everything. Till you wake up and see that's 1 second. Without Hashem, I have nothing. Amar Rav Nachman, the Gemara. But choishev, what's the most lacking thing a person can be lacking? Choishev, what do you mean? Hashem always takes care of us. We have our basic necessities. Beloy deya, without thought, without seichel. So it's coming out of Chiddush now. The difference between meiroyev koil and mechoishev koil is not how much I have. I saw a maestro of some tzaddik was in Europe 100 years ago. Was going by a village, and there was a Jew over there. It was the wealthiest guy in the town. He owns a whole bunch of fields which he used to rent out, and he owned the water mill, and the flour mill, which was constant income. The kid said he was extremely, extremely wealthy. And some tzaddik visited him. The tzaddik, so the guy was pretty ignorant. So the tzaddik was trying to chazik him. You know, this Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm mad without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have so much wealth that no matter what Akash Bobo does, he can't take it all away from me. Anyway, this tzaddik was, okay, what can you do? Couldn't convince the guy. A few months later, the tzaddik in his town, they had a Kachstani, they had a place for, in those days, these wandering Jews, they didn't have a place to live. They were going from town to town, and the poor people would go there and they set up food for them, bedding, you know, lodging. So, he looks and somebody very familiar walks in. Kamavan, that's Agvir. The Adam, the Choysako. He said, what happened? So quickly he lost everything. He said, not so long after he was by me, there was the king's army was coming to town. And one of his Choshev, whatever you call them, members of the army, whatever he was, a general or whatever he was, just going on his horse on a bridge that was over the river over his water mill. What is the water mill? No, the bridge over the water. Two planks of the wood from the bridge got dislodged. And what's his name? Tripped. Horse tripped. And our dear general went straight into the water. Did he survive or not? Wasn't clear in the story, so I can't tell you. Anyway, Kedakim, the goyim were jealous of the Jews. And they knew that this bridge belonged to a Jew. So they made a whole alila. They said, this guy purposely made a weak plank because he wants to destroy the army. And we have to get him back. And basically he said, we're going to get him or we're going to hang the guy. And he heard about it and he ran for his life. And eventually got to this other town. He said, I have nothing left. I can't go back there, even if I want to. I don't even know what's with my family, because I'm back there, I'm going to be lynched. And then he recognized that Hashem is running the world, and I do need a religion. But those are the two things. The person is living in a mind frame of choyser kol. I don't have seichel. I don't pay attention to what I do have. I don't appreciate what I do have. Which, like we're saying, what we have is our treasure of the Kodesh Baruch Hu and unlimited potential of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That'll be the simcha. If I'm not the simcha, it's because I'm not paying attention to what life really is all about. And then Hashem says, if you're not paying attention to it, so you want to live without lacking everything? So you don't need anything. Why should I have everything and feel you don't have anything and have nothing? You also feel like it's the same thing, you're in the same mind frame either way. But those are the two things, basically. What's coming out is, basically, that our state is a state of roiv koil, because both gives us everything we need. But the mind frame that makes its ability to feel that I have the right call is Yesh Lo Deo. I have the ability to discern and recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to me. And when I pay more attention to that, then Adarab, I have a life of simcha, life of content. There are challenges in life, but if I realize the challenges I have are also brought to me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for me to show Him that I can go with Him and do it in a proper fashion, if there's some tension between me and my wife, we'll work it out. I'm not going to change it, that's number one. But we're working out. Everything will be good. With the kids, my health, panos, all the things. Focus on what we do have and the ones, the things that we seem to be lacking are just challenges from a Kodesh Baruch Hu to show him. I'm with you, and he'll show him, I'm with you. Yesh Deya, Yesh Kol, Yesh Simcha. It's difficult to use these few weeks now, preparation for Purim, to feel the real Simcha that we should feel naturally every day of our lives.